Hey guys, it's Courtney
and Jensen,
and it's an odd world after all.
So welcome, oddballs. We are a podcast that reads the stories that you send in, whether it be super odd, creepy, scary, paranormal, the weird neighbor down the street. We read it all. We pick a topic every week, and then you guys send in your stories, and then we read them. We also, of course, you know, tell our own stories.
You can follow our Facebook page, like and share our Facebook page too at It's an Odd World After All. Our Instagram, It's an Odd World After All _.
And our website is just oddworldafterall.com. On the listen tab, you can go and find the platform that you prefer to listen to your podcasts on. So get ready for us two giggly girls.
Yes!
It's an odd world after all.
Peace, oddballs.
Bye, guys.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my foodie soulmate with me, the one and only Miss Marie Rose.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello, lovely listeners indeed. So tonight, you guys, my bestie and I are not together. We are Skyping to get this episode done.
Which makes me super sad.
I know, because I am having withdrawals. So we have been so incredibly busy with work, like our day jobs, and we've both been pulled like super far apart, and I think it's just the universe trying to keep us apart, and I'm not having it. So I was really excited to get together this week, and we were going to get together last night, but we couldn't, and that was my schedule. And tonight we both just got done with work late, so, you know, long story short, here we are via Skype. But we are so dedicated that we're just going to Skype to get this done because we love you guys so much. So that's the skinny. And I'm sad because I can't even see your delicious face. So, but, you know, I'm excited that we at least have this and we don't have to like totally scrap it. So it's all good. Tonight, we're checking in and hoping to check right back out. What in the bellhop are we talking about? Why, haunted hotels, of course. Before we pack our bags, I want to shout out a few of our friends that have taken time to leave us reviews and ratings on iTunes and other platforms. Here are a couple of our newest reviews. Love it. Just found this podcast and love it. Ghost Peppers. Love to listen while I work, and I've learned a few new things. I love that our friend referenced the Ghost Peppers, because that is hands down like one of my favorite moments ever.
I think I almost peed my pants.
Yes.
Ghost Peppers.
As did I. And you guys, we don't even drink when we record. We don't. And we've said it before, and we really like, we need to one night just have like a couple glasses of wine or something and see where the night goes.
Because heaven help our listeners if we ever do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. This next one is, it says, 5 stars. Love you guys. Was searching for a new podcast to listen to at work. Started from the beginning and love all the diverse paranormal and spiritual topics. You guys, I cannot begin to tell you what this means to me. It takes a couple of minutes to leave a review, and you guys did just that. Thank you so, so much from our entire hearts. Our week is made. You have no idea. You can post your rating and review of the show anywhere you listen to your podcasts. The couple of minutes it takes to leave a few words or even 5 stars really does make a huge difference. It helps podcasts move up the charts and become more visible for newcomers to see. So if you haven't already done so, please make sure you leave a rating and or review for your favorite podcast. Make sure your faves get seen. So, you know, I'm a little partial to the Media Matters, Avi, but this goes for all the podcasts out there because there are so many incredible ones. So please make sure you take a few minutes and leave a rating and or review. As per usual, thank you to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. It really, really is so much fun to get to know you guys and to hang out with you guys on social media. Let's make sure we keep it going. Hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, and via courier pigeon, because why not? If there's something strange in your neighborhood, You can jot it down and email it to me at themediummatters@gmail.com. Send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or you can call me maybe and leave it on the show's voicemail to be part of the action. That's right, you guys. The Media Matters has all kinds of contact info now. We are all grown up. Me and the Marie Rose and our little Media Matters family. For your written ghost stories, I will personally read and reply to your message and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your true life ghost story or stories right here on The Media Matters. No pressure to be on the show. I am super happy to read it on your behalf if that's more your jam. So again, no pressure, no judgment, just good, clean, scary, fun. For your voicemail ghost stories, the line is strictly voicemail for the time being. Here's what you do. Call the show at 850-203-0118. Make sure you leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let the ghost stories roll. These messages will be played on the air, so please make sure you let me know if you would prefer that it be kept private. That is not a problem at all. You can also use this phone number to leave a message with a review for the show, a show or topic-related question, stories that are related to episodes we've done, or more. So let the voicemail ghost stories begin and all your other little stories that relate to the Media Matters podcast, and we will check them out and air them on the show so that the rest of our Media Matters family can enjoy them as well. Some of you guys have asked for the show's mailing address because you want to send us goodies and hopefully nothing evil. And if you decide to send an evil doll, please make sure to include the glass case to contain it. Please and thank you. If you guys want mailing address info for the show, please make sure you contact me via email or on one of the show's social media pages, via DM, whatevs, and I will get that address to you. I have handed it out already, or emailed it out, or DM'd it out, whatevs. So just make sure you let me know and I will get it to you, I promise. Now then, it is up and ready for company. What am I talking about? The show's Patreon page. That's right, guys. Applause, applause.
Yay, yay.
Yay. Here's what you guys get as a patron to the Media Matters podcast. Our eternal love and appreciation, a shout out on social media and an upcoming episode, and early release of the weekly episodes. Check it out at patreon.com/themediamatters for all of this goodness and so much more. And there is already content on the Patreon page. You can only get that You can only get that exclusive content if you are a patron to the Media Matters podcast. So please sign up. And if you cannot sign up, please, no worries. We don't love you any less. We love you guys forever. It's just what it is. Just what it is.
That's right.
So it's tarot time. And you guys, it's not too late for some August magic. In addition to our weekly tarot talk, we are hitting you with 31 August days of readings from the Marie Rose. Now, we are like in the middle of August, so you don't have a lot of time, but you still have time. Here are the deets. So 31 of our friends to the show will be selected by Marie Rose to receive a tarot reading. You will submit one question to Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Please make sure you do not ask anything related to health or legal issues, because that is not in the wheelhouse right now. We're not touching that. So please make sure that you're respectful. I have no words tonight. Please make sure you're respectful of that. Marie Rose will randomly select one person per day and will contact the reading recipient to notify them of their selection and work out the details of their tarot reading. There is still time, so please make sure that you submit your question soon for your chance to be selected. Reach out to me via email or social media if you need the correct spelling of Marie's email or anything else. For your info, I will tell you it is hellomarierose@gmail.com. That's hellomarierose@gmail.com. Very sing-songy. So we have talked about this for a while now. It's been a few weeks. I am super duper excited. Marie Rose, is there anything we haven't told our Medium Matters friends and family about this challenge that you've taken on? Is there anything we haven't covered?
Yes. So in one thing that I've discovered in our lovely listeners submitting their questions. What I would recommend is sending me a question in a yes/no format. And if you do, that's fine. However, I'm probably going to reframe the question away from a yes/no format, just so that we can get a larger picture of what I think you're actually looking for, because the tarot spread, it tells a story. It's a visual story, and it's I don't want to say a warning of things to come, but okay, these possible things can happen, and it's giving you a heads up. So it's not really a yes/no type of answer that you're going to get. You're going to get a whole lot more than that. So, like I said, you can send me a yes/no story or a yes/no question if you want, but I will probably expand upon it to get a bigger picture, a bigger answer for you.
That makes perfect sense, and I wish we had thought about that sooner. So, if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is, instead of asking, am I going to get my dream job at Marshall's next Thursday, because I already applied, can you give me information on my career, what's to come of my career, or career guidance, or something along those lines? Does that make more sense?
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I'll let you know if you're selected and you do have a yes no type of question. I'll let you know that hey, this was reformatted, and this is what happened.
Gotcha. Perfection. Thank you very much for that. So you guys, like we said, please make sure you submit your question. There is still time, and it is one person per day. So. We still have some days. And one of those days could be your day. So make sure you get that question in to marie@hellomarierose@gmail.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me at themediummatters@gmail.com or on one of the show's social media pages or whatevs. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's tarot talk, which is brought to you by The Marie Rose. Take it away.
So the card that I selected for today's podcast is the Fool. It is actually the very first card, well, what I consider the first card in the tarot deck. And it's a young man, and he is just rambling on, just looking up at the sky, not paying attention where he's going. In one hand, he's holding a flower. In the other hand, he's, holding like a hobo stick, with the bag at the end of it, with all his little earthly possessions. And he's looking up at the sky, and he's about to walk over a cliff. And sitting there or kind of jumping is a little dog just barking, barking, barking at him, trying to get his attention to say, hey, you idiot, you're about to go off the cliff. When I first started with tarot, I used to think, okay, this card's called the Fool, but yeah, this guy is he's a dreamer. He's about to, he's about to fall to his death, so on and so forth. But the more I dug into this, it's not really that at all. I mean, yes, it can represent a dreamer, but it really represents someone who is at the beginning of their journey, and they're just looking up at the clouds because they're just anxious to get started. And yes, there is a dog sitting there barking at them. Hey, that dog could be encouraging them on, or that dog could be giving them a warning. Who knows? It depends on the, what the tarot reading is at the time. It just depends. And yes, he could be falling off this cliff into a great new adventure. So it really is the beginning of a wonderful trip. So I've actually grown quite fond of this card. You know, it could be the beginning of learning something new. It could be the beginning of the relationship. It could be, you know, who knows? And it's, I've just really come to appreciate this card.
That's a really cool card. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of, I mean, I think it just goes really well with the crystal of the week and why I chose that crystal. And just kind of like, it seems that a lot of people are in that zone right now, new beginnings. And I don't know, like that card just really seems to resonate in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're coming out of what, our second new moon? It's new beginnings for a lot of people, and it's exciting. A lot of people are starting off on a brand new journey, and it's good stuff.
That's incredible. I'm so grateful that you did that, and you explained that one so well. Like, that might be one of my favorite cards so far.
Because we a bunch of fools.
Because we a bunch of fools. So I usually roam right into the Can't Resist Crystal of the Week. But before I do that, I just want to, I mean, like, I have to say, I'm not going to cry. I have to say that our Medium Matters family is so kick ass. This is like the most supportive and encouraging and courageous group of people that I have been so honored to know and to be friends with and to connect with. So just a few minutes ago, I talked about the Patreon page, and, you know, I mean, Marie and I work so hard, you guys, and I know we all work so incredibly hard in our own arenas and do all of our stuff. And when things, you know, start to go in a certain direction, you feel like, oh, it's paying off. And so all that to say, I want to shout out one of our incredible family members, Zarek, because he is our very first patron, our very, very first. Like, I just got the pop up right now that he is a new patron to the Medium Matters family, and I am so, so excited. And we chat on social media, not nearly as much as I would like, because I am always running around, but he is so incredible, so special. This wonderful family member of ours just returned from California and took awesome pictures, and I was so excited to see that he was going, because, you know, I consider that my home. And I just want to say thank you so, so much. So, 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 so much, because it is like, you guys are just phenomenal. I don't even know what to say.
You're going to make me cry.
Do we not have like the most kick-ass family? We really do.
No, we do.
Everyone is so incredible, like beginning with you for sure. And I mean, all the way across the board with all of our family that we have built.
Yeah, I mean, even the folks who have emailed me, you know, with tarot questions, mm-hmm. and whatnot. I mean, just super, super good-hearted, yes. Nice people.
Yes, very much. I am just, it's so encouraging. It makes all of this so worth it when, you know, no matter what you're doing, when you're tired and you get cranky and you're like, I don't want to hear it today. And that's anything, because my day job is like that. I mean, it's like that for all of us, no matter what it is. And it's like these little moments that just give you the push to keep going. And you're like, yeah, tonight I can work till 1 a.m. again. It's all good. I feel super pumped. So, Zarek, thank you so much. You are incredible. I mega love you. I know I can speak for myself and Marie. We're so honored to know you and to have you as part of the family, and mega shout outs coming your way on social media, and a special welcome message coming your way. I mean, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what to say. Thank you. Okay. Now then.
That's awesome.
It is super awesome. I'm just like on cloud nine right now. I'm so excited.
Don't cry.
So.
Don't cry.
No, I'm good.
I can hear it in your voice. Don't cry.
No, I'm good. Crybaby tears are over. They're done. I just had a moment there where I was going to break. I was like, oh, God. <It's okay. laughs> All right, you guys. This week's Can't Resist Crystal is the one and only Tiger's Eye. Now, we did this one recently, but it warranted a second round, and it might warrant more rounds later. I don't know. This crystal is incredible. Why? Well, based on recent events and because it happens to go very well with the phase of the moon that we're in right now, which is the waxing gibbous moon. And we will have an episode that is all things moon. So if you guys have any moon questions, moon phases, moon magic, whatever it is, let us know. You can call us 850-203-0118. You can email us. You can hit us up on social media, wherever. And we will make sure that we get those questions answered for you when we do that moon episode. For the time being, from wishingmoon.com and my fave, energymuse.com, the waxing gibbous is a time where we can finally expect to see a positive outcome to our recent efforts. If you feel like you've had, if you feel like you've been if you feel like you've been underestimated in work, it's now the time people will start to notice you. It's important that you keep everything up to a high standard. Be patient and your rewards will come soon. The ideal crystal to use during the waxing gibbous is a tiger's eye. This well-known crystal brings good luck and prosperity. It will stop any bad luck coming your way so that you can speed ahead towards success. The tiger's eye crystal is a solar gemstone of vitality, action, and success. It stimulates the root chakra, sacral chakra, and solar plexus chakra to help you take action to achieve your dreams while remaining grounded, centered, and calm. Wearing tiger's eye jewelry energizes the body, rebalancing it on all levels. A tiger's eye bracelet in particular lends you the courage, strength, will, and personal power that you need to go after your dreams. Due to its properties, tiger's eye is specifically beneficial for the astrological signs Leo, Capricorn, Aries, and Taurus. For more information on tiger's eye crystals, make sure you check out energymuse.com or any other book or site that resonates with you. I have a Judy Hall crystal book, and I will make sure I link it in the show notes so you guys can have another source. It's a really, really great book. Marie, you have a crystal book too, don't you? I thought you had a crystal book as well.
Yeah, it's an app on my phone, but oh, yes. Okay.
Gotcha. So that is that's the skinny on our tarot talk and our Can't Resist Crystal for the week. Hopefully these both lead you guys in wonderful directions for this awesome week.
And yeah, and it's funny that you made Tiger Eye today's stone, because I did wear my Tiger Eye bracelet to work today.
Really?
Yeah, I had a meeting I had to attend with the president of our company, and you know, you always want to do well, and it's a type of meeting that we haven't had before. I had to, you know, present a plan that I hadn't ever had to present at the president level. So I didn't know what he was going to expect. I had nothing to go by except, you know, what I usually do, but I usually just show it to my immediate boss. But you know, now I'm, you know, doing this, you know, to the top of our company, and I had no idea whether he was going to hate it, love it, whatever. So yeah, I wore the bracelet, and he asked, you know, a lot of questions. I was able to answer them all. I didn't sit there and you know, cower down, and you know, and it, long story short, I was able to handle it. You know, like you said, it has a lot to do with your solar plexus. It gives, you know, it's good for your willpower. It's basically good, you know, good protection, keeps you grounded, helps you stand your ground if you need to. It's an excellent stone.
That is awesome. See, that is firsthand right there. Firsthand info, how powerful these crystals are, how powerful all of this is. If you put intention into it, that is what it will give you. So be careful. We talk about this all the time. Be very careful what intentions you set. Please make sure that it is positive and not meant to harm someone, because it will come back tenfold. It's not nice. It's time to grab your paranormal investigation gear and hit the halls. And by beer.
We know where your head is.
Oh my God. It's been such a long week already, and it's only Tuesday. And by gear, I mean holy water and crosses, of course, because we're about to travel to some downright creepy places, you guys. Marie Rose, would you like to kick it off for us?
For the haunted hotels?
Yeah.
Sure. We can start with what I think is probably the most famous haunted hotel, the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado.
Ooh, which you've talked about before.
Yes, it was built in 1909, and it has been reporting paranormal activity since the 1970s, and it is a popular place for paranormal investigations. So, sweetie girl, if you want to go and do a paranormal investigation, I am all about this hotel.
Heck yeah.
Yes, I've stayed there. I think I've actually stayed there a couple of times. And when I go, it's been a week at a time. So I've stayed in different part of the hotels. And the place is beautiful. It's beautiful. Have I seen a ghost? Not real ghosts, but I've seen a few drunk ghosts. So, I mean, that's a whole, right. So that's a whole other story. But many believe that the owners, F.O. Stanley and his wife, Flora, are the ghosts in this hotel. They've been seen in the billiards room or making the piano in the music room play, which did not occur when I was there, but that's okay. I would have probably screamed and ran out the door, so it's all good. But in 1974, the scary-ass author Stephen King stayed in room 217 at the hotel and based his novel The Shining on the hotel. And I will tell you, I did visit room 217. I did not go in, but I at least went to the room, saw it, and ran the other direction. It's like, oh my God, this is where it happened. I'm out of here.
That's awesome.
And there are parts of the hotel that, I mean, they duplicated it in the movie, the carpet, the halls. I mean, there are sections of the hotels when you look at it, you just get the weebie jeebies because it's like, oh my God, this is, you know, like right out of the movie.
Mm.
So it's really cool. The hotel offers nightly ghost tours. They have an on-site psychic, which I didn't know. And TVs that play the Shining on a continuous loop.
Ooh.
So you can be in your room at the Stanley watching The Shining, and you'll look at it and go, oh, well, I just walked down that hallway. But what they also have, there was another movie filmed there with Jim Carrey called Dumb and Dumber.
Really?
And that was filmed at the hotel also. And so both of those movies are on a continuous loop. And there is a scene in Dumb and Dumber where they pop a champagne cork and it bounces around the room and hits the white snowy owl and kills it. And it's supposed to be, you know, this hilarious scene. And because the white snowy owl was like the last of its, you know, kind, and Dumb and Dumber just killed it. So I'm laying in bed and I'm watching this movie and I'm seeing this happen. And it's happening in the exact same room that I'm supposed to give a presentation in the next day.
No doubt.
And I am like, what, you know, WTF? That's all I'm going to be able to think about when I'm in this room is that this little white snowy owl. Yes, it's like, oh my gosh. So anyway.
That is awesome. I did not know that movie was filmed there.
Yep.
Part of it anyway.
Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
The Stanley Hotel is a pretty neat hotel. So guests can stay in one of the several reportedly haunted guest rooms. I've stayed, like I said, in different parts of the hotel. I didn't see any ghosts. I did get some weebie jeebies, but that was just because of, you know, fun stuff.
Right.
Um, there is an underground level to this place beneath the hotel. And yes, I went down there because they say you can see ghosts down there. Yes, I ventured down in there. There's, you know, pictures all over the walls. I was on edge the entire time I was down there. So yeah, I went down, looked at the pictures, and I came right back out again.
That's probably what I would do too.
But it was neat. It was neat. I remember there's some hotels, there's some rooms in a building to the side of the hotel. I think it's where, like, you know, a long time ago, they had the guy that would, like, run the horse barn. I can't remember the quartermaster or whatever they called it. But the staff lived in some of the outbuildings. And they're now converted to hotel rooms. And I was staying there with a friend. And I remember being on the inside of the room. And she was sitting out in the little patio area. And I think she was just out there smoking a cigarette. And I'm in the room. And all of a sudden, I hear my friend screaming at the top of her lungs. And I thought, oh my gosh, she either saw a ghost or because the elk roam freely around Estes Park and she's deathly afraid of them. Or an elk came up to the patio because they're huge. These beasts are just huge. They're huge, beautiful, or, you know, something. So I run out to go see what happened, and girlfriend was on her chair, standing in those little plastic feeble chairs, screaming because a little muskrat ran by.
Stop it. A muskrat?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a muskrat. It was one of those little Chippendale guys. Oh, a chipmunk. God. A chipmunk.
The Chippendale's like, whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's screaming and she's pointing and I'm looking at it going, he's adorable. Is it Chip? Is it Dale? Which one is it? And she, oh no, she has had.
Oh my God, nothing, that's awesome.
Nothing to do with it. So yes, the Stanley Hotel. Yes, it's haunted. But it's a beautiful hotel. As you're pulling into Estes Park, as you're pulling into the town, you see it kind of just up there in the sky on the top of the hotel, on top of a hill. It's, you know, bright white. You can't miss it. It's just gorgeous.
That's amazing. So,
yeah, highly recommend it.
Have you watched The Shining?
Oh, God, years ago.
Okay.
You know, I don't do scary.
I know. That's why I had to ask. that is a creepy movie.
Yeah, and plus the girl that they have in it, the girl who plays Olive Oil.
Oh, yeah.
She creeps me out, too.
Just like in general?
Yes.
Alrighty.
And then you add Jack Nicholson in there when he gets his crazy hair on. You know what I'm talking about.
And what was I just watching where they were talking about something being, oh my God, I can't think of it. And I don't want to waste episode time thinking about it. But I was watching something where they were comparing it. They were saying that it was the creator kind of used The Shining as some of the creative motivation for some of the things that were going on. I was like, what?
Wow.
God, what was it? Oh, it was the new season of Stranger Things, season 3. So there,
oh, okay.
I think it's Billy, the character Billy, they were saying, I'm not going to say anymore in case anyone hasn't seen anything, but if you haven't watched Stranger Things, please watch it because it's amazing. But that has nothing to do with our haunted hotels. Well, that is really cool. I would love to go visit the Stanley Hotel and see what all the hoopla is about because ghosts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel it's definitely haunted.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, just talking about it makes my arm hairs crawl.
Yeah. I saw a ghost there? No, but you know,
you did though. You saw the drunkies.
Yeah, a wannabe ghost. and it's this poor guy. He and I, we were in the bar, and we had both had a few, and he went up to his room and took some sheets and cut a hole in for the eyes and started wandering around the hotel and started just with a sheet over his head.
Sure, because why not?
And I'm like, you're an idiot. And the poor guests were trying their best to ignore him, but he just walked around the hotel with a sheet over his head.
Sure. As one does at a hotel or anywhere.
Yeah.
As one does. Well, thank you for giving us all that delicious information on the Stanley Hotel. I cannot wait to visit. Come on, ghost hunt. No, we don't like that.
Should.
We like paranormal investigation. That's what we like.
There you go.
Not okay. Ghost hunt. We're not hunting ghosts.
No, because I'm not killing them.
No.
They're already dead.
They're already dead. They can't be more dead. I mean, I don't know. All right. Next up, we have the Crescent Hotel and Spa in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. This Victorian beauty was built in 1886 and hosts a wide variety of spirits. It is said that after the skeleton frame of the hotel had been constructed in the 1880s, that one of the Irish stonemasons plunged to his death in what is now room 218, very close to 217 at the Stanley. Ooh. This particular room proves to be the most spiritually active room in the hotel and has attracted television film crews for decades because of the quality and quantity of the ghost sightings reported. Throughout the history of the hotel, employees have referred to this entity as Michael, a classified poltergeist due to the nature of the unexplained activity. Guests have witnessed hands coming out of the bathroom mirror. Cries of a falling man in the ceiling. Doors opening, then slamming shut, and unable to be opened again. The intrigue of this activity has drawn guests to specifically request the historic accommodations of room 218 for the chance of experiencing something incredible. In the hotel's crystal dining room, many employees have encountered playful spirits in Victorian dresses. One holiday season, while the dining room was closed, the grand Christmas tree and packages underneath moved from one end of the room to the other.
Ooh.
I'm going to pause right here and just say, what a handy thing to have. It seems as though they were cleaning up for the holidays, if you will, and they took it upon themselves. They're like, hey, under the tree hasn't been dusted. Let's get that, guys. Ready? Let's move it. How nice.
How helpful.
I know. Can I get that at my house? Because I need a little help vacuuming in here. The thing is,
if you're going to have a ghost in your house, it might as well make itself useful and clean.
Agreed. You know, I'm like, we can be friendly. You can live over there in that corner and, you know, let's just agree to the chore chart. I don't think that's asking too much. So the next morning, employees found the tree and packages moved with chairs circling and facing the newly placed holiday symbol. Another time, employees returned in the morning to find the dining room in perfect order, except for menus scattered throughout the room. And yet another time, a waitress looked into the huge mirror between the doors from the dining room to the kitchen and saw a man and woman in Victorian clothing facing each other as if they were part of a wedding. The groom turned and made eye contact with the waitress, and then the couple faded away. The actress quit her position shortly after this incident. I would too, ma'am. I would too. Another commonly reported paranormal activity is a man in Victorian clothing sitting at a table near the windows saying, I saw the most beautiful woman here last night and I'm waiting for her to return. Many have recounted seeing apparitions in Victorian ball attire dancing around the room until the wee hours of the morning while the room was closed and dark. I know. In the 1930s, the hotel in Eureka Springs became an experimental cancer hospital. Dr. Norman Baker, claiming to be a licensed physician, examined cancer patients in the hotel's basement while charging unsuspecting families their life savings. Several apparitions from the hospital visit the hotel today. Dr. Baker has been seen in the hotel lobby as well. He is described as a man in a purple shirt and white linen suit matching photographs of the infamous entrepreneur. A nurse pushing a gurney residing in Dr. Baker's old morgue area is known to squeak and rattle down the halls of the hotel. A hotel maintenance man witnessed all the washers and dryers mysteriously turn on in the middle of the night. The laundry room is located next to Dr. Baker's old morgue, which still contains his autopsy table and walk-in freezer. And housekeepers report meeting Theodora in room 419. She introduces herself as a cancer patient of Dr. Baker's and vanishes after courtesies are verbally exchanged. That is just craziness. The Crescent Hotel has so many ghostly tales to tell that tours of this historic place in the Ozarks are held throughout the year. Another place on our list because, you know, we should probably go see this Dr. Baker and his morgue.
You know, when you talked about the laundry, that reminded me. Remember that night in Houston?
Yes. Oh, my God.
We were doing laundry.
Oh, I forgot all about that till just now.
And yeah, and you... You sensed something in the laundry room.
Yeah,
we were in there. I think we were playing Uno.
We were.
And waiting for the laundry to finish. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you saw or felt?
I really don't. I remember us walking in there. And I don't think it started right away. I can't remember very well. But this was on like the second floor of the hotel, I think. And we went in and we were playing and I kept feeling like, oh God, I want to say I felt dizzy or something. And that is there's a certain sensation I feel often when there's an energy around, but I think it was like somebody standing in the corner, like a man.
Yeah. And you said, I remember you said he didn't have any ill intent. He just kept coming in and looking at us and checking us out and,
yeah, that sounds right. I remember him like standing in the corner and I don't really remember much else, but it was like his energy was really strong. I remember that because I was like, is it because we're on the second story? Have we not eaten? But we had just eaten. So
right.
There was like no explaining why I felt that way outside of I just associate that feeling now with a strong energy. And sometimes they present themselves and sometimes they don't.
So we have been in a haunted hotel.
That's true. Or he was just passing through and he's like, oh, they can see me.
Well, he could have been helpful and helped fold our laundry.
He could have. I mean, he wasn't.
Didn't. No. He went, oh, hey, I'm out.
He's like, oh, girls.
Yeah. He's like, let me get out of here before I get a honeydew list.
I know. They're like, hey, can you fix that washer? Because I think like one of the washers was broken or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
We had like, oh my gosh, trying to get laundry done was miserable. It was such a chore.
It was.
Anyway.
That was whole other story.
We digress.
Yeah, but we were in a haunted hotel.
We were. At least for a few minutes we were.
Right.
Because that guy was, I mean, his energy was strong. I was like, sir. Stop. Stop. All right. You are up.
Okay. So let's go to Boston. Boston, ooh, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yes. At the Omni Parker House. So the original hotel opened in 1855 and was run by founder Harvey Parker until he died in 1884. Many guests have reported seeing him in their guest rooms where he's asked about their stay. After a businessman died in room 303, there were multiple reports of laughter and the smell of whiskey. Stephen King's short story 1408, which was made into a movie, centers on a writer,
yes,
who experiences a haunted stay at a New York hotel.
Wait, it's based off of that?
Yep, based on the supernatural activity in room 303.
What?
Yep, and I know you're going to like this part. On another note, the Parker House claims the invention of two famous foods. The Parker House roll, which I don't know anything about, but this captured my heart. The Boston cream pie. And it is the restaurant which was the first job for celebrity chef Emeril Lagasse when he got out of culinary school.
No way.
So the Omni Parker House in Boston is famous for multiple things. Food and being haunted by its founder.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool. Dang. I can't believe it. I've seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
You know I don't do scary movies.
Why do I ask? Yeah, it was an okay movie, but I mean, it has John Cusack, so that's I've never found that to be a bad thing.
Okay, and I have never seen a movie that I didn't like that has John Cusack yeah. in it.
I mean, he's just
it's not like I'm attracted to him or anything, right. but I think he's so freaking adorable. I mean, I date him. I date him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Like, we could make out, whatever. Oh gosh. Yeah, it was an okay movie. It wasn't it definitely isn't one of my favorite scary movies.
It's not The Shining.
No, not by a long shot. It wasn't.
I mean, even I've seen The Shining.
Yeah, it wasn't bad though. Like, it wasn't, I mean, if it's ever like, if I'm flipping through the channels and I see it, I might stop. Just catch a little bit and then be like, okay, moving on.
And then move on.
No offense, Mr. King or Cusack. You guys are stellar. No offense. All right. The Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. I know you guys have heard of this one. I know it. It's been on like every paranormal investigation show. And hopefully one day we will get to investigate it because it's just up there. So this glamorous and amazing hotel opened in 1927, right in the thick of Hollywood, and as such, has a star-studded history. It was often used for movie premiere after parties, and it hosted the very first Oscars, which is very cool. The Roosevelt's, cool. Right? The Roosevelt's clientele and striking Spanish colonial revival-style architecture helped shape the image and myth of Hollywood as a place of glamour and luxury. Marilyn Monroe, the busiest ghost in the biz, supposedly haunts her old room, room 1200, where she lived as her fame grew. It's rumored that her first ad was shot at the Roosevelt pool. Many people see Marilyn in the mirror in her room. They also see a little girl in a blue dress, a maintenance worker has told The Hollywood Reporter. The apparition of silver screen babe Montgomery Clift has been blamed for patting guests' shoulders and watching maids in room 928, where he stayed for 3 months while filming From Here to Eternity. And the ghost of Carol Lombard has also been spotted floating around the upper floors. In the Blossom Room, where the first Oscars were held, two ghosts have been documented. A presence of a tuxedoed man and a presence of a man in a white suit. Nothing worse than an underdressed ghost. And while many guests of this grand hotel are completely unaware of the ghostly clientele and just enjoy the glorious touch of Hollywood, there are quite a few unseen entities happily residing there, unable to find peace needed to go on to the other side. So for Montgomery Clift, we've talked about him where he haunts, you know, he goes around touching people and is said to haunt his old room, which was 928. He has been seen by a lot of different people. His apparition has been seen in the hallways on the ninth floor. He also has been said to practice his trumpet in the hallway, which thank you for that. I hope he's doing it in the middle of the night, waking everybody up.
He has rude.
Right? He's appeared in his old room. His unseen presence has been felt and experienced in and around his room, because why not? Some of the maids have felt something cold brush by them. Other maids have felt a presence watching them or felt a presence walking beside them. Some people have spent the night in his old room just to have experiences, sometimes the full sports package of paranormal experiences. So, you know, a lot of fun. There is a psychic by the name of Peter James who did spend the night in room 928 and says that as he stood in the hallway outside the door, he felt a ton of angry vibes coming from the room. He went to sleep in the bed around 2 a.m. and when he woke up, he felt an unseen presence lying on top of him. He could not move. I know, that's creepy. He says he did that's manage scary. To take a deep breath and move his arm back, lifting the weight off of him, and he was finally able to go back to sleep, which I don't know how, because I would have been out of there.
No, I would have been screaming in the hallway.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
No.
So, you know, it could have been Montgomery Clift trying to communicate with him. Who knows? In any event, Peter James did wake up a few hours later and saw a shadowy apparition, which he believes was Clift, sitting in a chair in the corner of his room, just sitting there watching for like 30 minutes. Then he walked towards the bathroom and disappeared.
Huh.
Very crazy. As for Marilyn Monroe, there is more info on her. So she did stay there in room 1200. Although she seems to be a lot friendlier and shares her space, she still likes to take comfort in her beauty and appeal, two things the negative influences in her childhood couldn't take from her. Guests and staff have seen her in mirrors around the hotel. A mirror that used to be in Marilyn's old suite, 1200, is notorious for reflecting her spirit, as one employee of the hotel found out. When this employee was dusting this mirror, which was at the time hanging in the manager's office, she saw the reflection of a sad blonde woman who she identified as Marilyn. Turning around to talk to her, the employee found no one standing there. Yet, when she looked back into the mirror, the blonde was still there. The mirror is sometimes on display in the lower elevator foyer.
Oh, wow.
I know. There's also an entity of a 5-year-old little girl named Caroline. In the early morning hours, she has appeared in the main lobby area looking like a real child. She wears jeans with a pink jacket and has her hair tied up in a ponytail. She likes to skip around the lobby singing. And, you know, imagine the surprise when, you know, everyone's surprised when they see this little girl and then suddenly she's like disappearing. So not cool, Caroline, not cool. And, you know, the two entities that they've seen in the ballroom and just, I mean, this hotel in particular has a lot of activity. And they say that the switchboard gets calls from empty rooms. Perhaps wrong service, right? Phones are lifted off their receivers in the empty rooms. Disembodied voices are heard coming from empty rooms, and the sounds of non-existent children playing in the hallways have been reported by guests as well. So super creepy. Lots and lots of history. But, you know, when you think about it, a lot of the hotels that report all of this activity, they're old. They've been around for a very long time. So even if it's not like a ghost, let's say, there's so much energy that comes through there on the regular. And it's not like, oh, we have two people in this week. It is like hundreds of people, hundreds and hundreds of people at a time. So that's a lot of energy. And then I don't know if they still do this, but, you know, back in the day, they used to have people living there, such as, you know, Montgomery Clift and Marilyn Monroe, who stayed there for extended periods of time. So that's a lot. Like, part of your life was spent at this place. Your energy is there. And, you know, I think you kind of leave energy everywhere you go, kind of like a thumbprint, you know, a fingerprint.
Right.
So may not necessarily be ghost haunting, not in every case, but I think in this case, there's so much energy. There's no telling what the heck is brewing.
Right.
So that's what we got on the Roosevelt Hotel.
That's cool. Okay, so what I have next is a hotel out of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. So this hotel was built in 1930, and it's the Omni Shoreham. Now, I've actually been by this hotel. I've never actually gone in it. Had I known it was haunted, I might have taken some time to check it out. But the Omni Shoreham has high ceilings, grand chandeliers, and a haunted suite, the Ghost Suite. It's a 2-bedroom apartment, and the spirits of the original owner, his daughter, and the housekeeper supposedly stay there. The housekeeper, Juliet, and the owner's daughter, Helen, they both died in this suite. Once the family was gone, there were reports of unexplained noises, lights being turned on, and the feeling of somebody running by. Travelers can book the suite and stay there if they're looking for a paranormal encounter. During the hotel's early years, and this is weird, 3 people died unexpectedly, all of them in the same suite, suite 870. Right. Then, then since then, there have been claims of mysterious noises, doors slamming, and furniture moving. So, yeah, too scary. I know that is one room I'm not going to stay in.
Maybe not stay there at all. There are so many other hotels that could have your business.
Oh, right.
No, thank you. Like, you better go there with your will ready to go. because there's no telling if you're going to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm. Not doing it. Not Mm-mm. doing it.
Oh, the heebie jeebies. I did not like that one. All right. The Chateau Marmont, which you guys have likely heard of. It's a very popular happen in place in California. So this particular place was converted to a hotel in the 1930s, and the exclusive and elegant hotel off the Sunset Strip has become a hideaway for many celebrities, from Britney Spears to Jim Morrison and so many more. And it has seen its fair shares of meltdowns, affairs, drunken shenanigans, you name it. One very famous person that used to like to party there was John Belushi, and it said that he loved it so much that, of course, he would stay and hang out in the afterlife. People say Bungalow 3, where John Belushi fatally overdosed in 1982, is the site of many strange occurrences. The most disturbing story involves a toddler whose family stayed there for a while in 1999. Per the Travel Channel, the child's parents would hear him laughing alone. They finally got up the nerve to ask him why, and he responded, "The funny man." Then, when his mother was leafing through a book of celebrity guests of the Chateau Marmont, the boy pointed to John Belushi and exclaimed, "The funny man." Nope. No. Which, that's not a scary one, but I have to say, and I feel like I've said this before, little kid ghosts or little kids laughing at nothing, that's a hard pass for me. Real hard pass. I don't like it.
Yeah. And little kids, I mean, they pick up on stuff that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because their brains aren't fully developed yet, but their senses, they grow out of it. But yeah, they pick up on stuff that we don't see or hear.
Yeah.
And so, sure. Yeah. So when they're laughing at something and there's nothing there, I mean, there is something there. You just can't see it.
Right.
They just still have their gifts and haven't lost it yet.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Hard pass. I can't do it. What do you have next for us, Marie Rose?
All right. So there is a bed and breakfast in Monticello, Florida. It's called the John Denham House Bed and Breakfast. And this inn was built in 1872 as a single family home by John Denham. Imagine that. He was a Scottish immigrant and a cotton trader. He passed away in 1874, so he only got to stay in the house for 2 years. The inn has been reported to be located in one of the most haunted small towns in the South, again, Monticello. The inn features a blue room that seems to have seen the most paranormal activity. Sarah Denham's ghost is said to appear in a rocking chair in that room. Also reported by the guests is spirit activity in the gold room, Mm-mm. the parlor, and the dining room. So nothing scary as far as I'm going to hurt you or you're going to die, but just stuff just moves.
The lady in the rocking chair, Marie Rose, what the heck?
Yeah, but she's not hurting anybody. She's just rocking.
Yeah, no, that's creepy. Mm-mm.
It is creepy.
Mm-mm. Little kid ghosts, little kids laughing at nothing, and rocking chairs. Hard pass. I'm going to add rocking chairs to my list. Mm-mm. I can't do it. I don't feel like I could have a rocking chair in my home.
Because if it moved, you'd move out?
I feel like that's aggressive.
I wouldn't have a rocking chair just because I don't care for them. I don't enjoy rocking chairs. I don't want to rock when I sit. I want to be still. I don't want to be rocking back and forth. There's nothing about it that's comforting to me.
Gotcha.
It was to see a rocking chair in a haunted room. I think that'd be kind of cool.
What?
Yeah, I think it'd be neat.
Who are you?
I mean, it's as long as they don't try to kill me or bop me, you know.
Guys, all I ask. I feel like
wouldn't it be fun to have like a REM pod? and be in a room and have the REM pod go off and have the rocking chair just.
Okay, so for that purpose, fine. Yes.
I mean, that's all part of a paranormal investigation, right?
Yes, for that purpose, okay, like, I'm on board, but just for no good reason, just no. Mm-mm. We need to get a REM pod.
Oh, we totally need to get a REM pod.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, we're just going to play with it.
Yeah, well, if we're getting a REM pod, then we're going to go to Monticello, and we are going to go in the blue room. Yeah, we're gonna go in the blue room and see what happens.
I'm down. I am down.
So I mean, I'm all about the nice ghosts.
Here are the rules: we don't ever use the REM pod in our own homes. I already see enough stuff. I don't need like to be trying to fall asleep at night and remember that the freaking REM pod went off for no good reason in my house.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't need that either.
It's just like extra. Well, you know what actually creeps me out about it is that it going off in like my space and me not sensing somebody. So that to me tells me that they're really working to hide from me. And that freaks me out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like everyone else, for the most part, I can see them, sense them in some way, but if that thing is going off, like detecting something and I am not detecting it, that's going to like, I'm going to pee my pants. And then the house is theirs.
You know, step up your clearing the house game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to if that junk is going on. I can't do it. Oh, God. Okay. Next up, we have the Knickerbocker Hotel. The Knickerbocker Hotel, which has been around since the 1920s, began its life as an apartment building, which I think is very cool. But it wasn't until it became a hotel that it became very popular with the Hollywood scene, which, you know, we've had some of those already. From producer Louis B. Mayer to Howard Hughes, Betty Grable, Johnny Mercer, down to Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio. And I don't mean down to like they're way lower. I mean like all the way over to. So Marilyn and Joe supposedly came to the hotel's Lido bar for a clandestine date and then in 1954 spent their honeymoon there, which I think is kind of cool. It's alleged that Marilyn stuck around post-mortem and haunts the ladies' room. The bar is taken by the ghost of Rudolph Valentino. A maintenance worker has said that a woman who threw herself off the roof also continues to haunt the Knickerbocker. Many have seen her. This maintenance person says, when I work in the basement, shadows go by and doors close and open by themselves. And he might be referring to dress designer to the stars, Irene, also known as Irene Gibbons, who threw herself off the 11th floor of the building in 1962, according to the LA Times. So, who's not haunting the Knickerbocker? Harry Houdini. His wife tried for a decade to contact him via an annual seance on the roof, but he never made an appearance. So either he's not there or he's just ignoring her as a husband would do.
I'm voting on the he's ignoring
her. Yeah, he's like, oh, woman, for the love of Jesus.
Right. I left you in that life. Leave me alone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were mega close. I have no idea. But so Marilyn is really making the rounds in the afterlife because she's hanging out at the Knickerbocker. She's hanging out at what was the other one? Gosh. What was the one we just talked about?
Yeah, the one you just talked about.
Was it the Roosevelt? I think it was the Roosevelt. Yeah.
Yes.
The Hollywood Roosevelt. So yes. Yeah, she's really making the round. So she's like, I'm in this mirror today. Nope. Today I'm over here with Joe.
So she's popping around, huh?
I guess so. What do you have up next for us?
Okay. So I've got the Bourbon Orleans Hotel.
Ooh, anything in the Orleans.
Nolens. Yes, I love it. The Grand Historic Bourbon Orleans Hotel originally opened in 1822 as a ballroom for glamorous events. And by the late 1800s, the hotel was acquired by the Sisters of the Holy Family to be used as a school, orphanage, hospital, and convent. the yellow fever epidemic struck and led to the death of many children. It is said that the ghosts of children and the nuns can be seen and heard throughout the hotel. Also, there are several reports of a ghost dancer in the famous ballroom.
Really?
Yeah. So there's also, you can do a, you know, a walking tour of the hotel, or any, you know, the New Orleans ghosts and spirits walking tour. You know, they stop at this hotel. So it's quite the tourist attraction.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, we ought to do that. We ought to just go to New Orleans. I mean, it's not that far from here.
You know what? That's funny. I was thinking that.
Do a ghosts and spirits tour. I wouldn't mind doing a walking tour of New Orleans.
I wouldn't either. We're going to have to wait till the winter because it is hot as F
out there. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Put on some good shoes
and get our stuff
in. A light
in.
Jacket. And, yeah.
Get
bring
our
sage.
Stuff in. Ooh.
And, yeah. I think that'd be fun.
I think that would be a lot of fun. We should do that. We should plan it.
Yeah. Plan get our it. Steps in and grab a drink and go on a walk.
I like it. I like it a lot. Up next, we have the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. Now, the Biltmore opened in 1923 and was the talk of the town. Built at a cost of almost $9 million, it had such luxurious conveniences as a bath in every room. From 1935 to 39, the Biltmore hosted the Academy Awards, and during World War II, the hotel became a rest and recreation facility for soldiers. Very cool. Naturally, all that history means it is a supernatural magnet. From the lobby to the roof, paranormal activity has been reported at the Biltmore. There's a nurse ghost on the second floor, a creepy little girl ghost on the ninth floor, and according to one account, a boy with no face on the roof. No, hard pass.
That's creepy. That's
yes,
creepy.
Super hard pass. The most famous ghost reportedly hiding out in here is the ghost of Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, which is one of the most fascinating stories ever. Ever. Do you know the Black Dahlia story?
I've heard of that, but I'm not familiar with it.
I am mildly obsessed. Like, I have been mildly obsessed with that story for the longest time, but I digress. The story goes that this hotel was one of the places Short was seen alive before she was brutally murdered. Short's ghost has been seen on the 10th and 11th floors, but also in the lobby. So, very sad. Very sad for all of these spirits that are roaming around and possibly feel stuck. I'm not sure. Bums me out. All right, friends, that's our episode on haunted hotels. But fear not, that was only part one, you guys. Why? Because we have so many haunts to cover with you. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you guys again so much for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Feeling spooky? Make sure you send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail line at 850-203-0118. And remember, your voicemail will be played on the air, so make sure you tell me in your message if you'd prefer to keep it quiet. Would you like a personalized tarot reading from The Marie Rose? Make sure you submit your question to her at hellomarierose@gmail.com before the end of August for your chance to be selected for a reading. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. And if you want to support the show in extra ways, check out the show's Patreon page, patreon.com/themediamatters. There are all kinds of goodies on there. Don't forget, it is subject to change. It won't be like that forever. I will add more things. I will change it up and take away some of the things that maybe aren't faves and whatevs. I'll fill you guys out. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters, which, you know, spoiler alert, it's going to be Haunted Hotels Part 2. It will be the same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. And before we go one more time, thank you eternally to Zarek for being our very, very first The Media Matters Patreon patron. Thank you so much for your love and support. You are everything. A super master of the universe. Like, I can't even tell you how much you mean to me right now. So thank you again. And good night, you guys.
Good night, everybody.